Welcome to the Speaking of Women's Health podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Holly Thacker, the Executive Director of Speaking of Women's Health, and I am back in the Sunflower House for a new special quick podcast. And on this podcast, I want to talk to you about the upcoming solar eclipse in Northeast Ohio and several regions across the United States, which is going to be on Monday, April 8th. So for people in this part of the Sunflower House, it is going to be potentially a once-in-a-lifetime event, although I calculated that my granddaughter Artemis, if she lives to 2099, which certainly I hope she does, being a 2020 baby, she will maybe have a second opportunity to experience this. A total solar eclipse is very rare. And depending on what part of the country you're in, depends on when you'll get a chance to see it. My sister, who lives in eastern Pennsylvania, is actually driving in to be in Northeast Ohio in order to experience this. And certainly people that love the sun and the moon and the stars and our astronomy aficionados are very excited, but it's really captivated so many people's attention. And there's been a lot of planning going into this because we're certainly expecting an influx of visitors to this area. So a total solar eclipse happens when three celestial spheres, the sun, the moon, and the earth, line up in a special way in space. Now, according to NASA, a solar eclipse happens when the moon passes right between the sun and the earth, and that alignment casts a moving shadow on earth that either fully or partially blocks the sunlight in some areas. So this can lead to a period of partial or full darkness on just that narrow stretch around the earth. So the eclipse will begin in Texas at 1:25 p.m. Central Daylight Time. And it will end in Maine at 3:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So the exact time of where you may be in the path of the solar eclipse varies by where you are located. So all of the lower 48 United States will see the moon at least clip the sun. And that sight is a trifle compared to being in the path of totality. So here in Northeast Ohio, in the Cleveland area, where I'm at in the Sunflower House, is going to be in the path of totality. So the partial begins at 1:59 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and then the totality for us here begins at 3:13 p.m., with the maximum being at 3:15 p.m., with the totality ending at 3:17 p.m. So that gives us 4 minutes of the totality. And the partial ends at 4:29 p.m., just in time for rush hour traffic. So I really want to thank our executive producer, Lee Klecker, for gathering all this information for our listeners to get it to you by early April to prepare for this, for some, once-in-a-lifetime event. And it's so important to have eye safety during a total solar eclipse. And safety is so important when you want to view the solar eclipse. So it's important to follow the safety guidelines when viewing the eclipse. Except for a very specific and brief period of time during the total solar eclipse, you must never look directly at the sun, never, without wearing proper eye protection, such as safe solar viewing glasses. Regular sunglasses are not, repeat, are not safe for viewing the sun. And I ordered mine and ordered several for friends and family. And I put them on and I couldn't see anything. It was all black. I guess that's the purpose. It's really very, very, very protective. And you must wear these eclipse glasses or use other solar filters to view the sun directly during the partial eclipse phase. You could only take your glasses off for the short time when the moon has totally obscured the sun, which is that period of totality. But as soon as you see even the tiniest bit of bright sun appear in the totality, immediately you must have your glasses on or use a handheld solar viewer to look at the sun. If you don't have eclipse glasses, and hopefully there's still time for you to secure yours if you're in the path and planning to be outside to behold this celestial event, you can use indirect viewing methods such as a pinhole projector, which projects the image of the sun onto another surface. Safe solar viewers are thousands of times darker and need to comply with the ISO 12312-2 international standards. That's 12312-2 international standard. And it's important to understand that NASA does not approve of any specific brand of solar viewers. They don't approve them. And so some people are marketing it that way. And again, it's buyer beware. Do your research. Protect those eyes, which are the window to the soul. And so there is concern that not all glasses marketed as eclipse glasses live up to the standard. Most experts say that the differences and the shortcomings aren't that significant. I think you should inspect your eclipse glasses or your handheld viewer before use. Make sure it's not torn or scratched or otherwise damaged. If so, discard the advice. And please supervise children or others who may need assistance. Do not look at the sun through a camera lens, telescope, binoculars, or any optical device while wearing your eclipse glasses or using that handheld solar viewer, because the concentrated rays can burn through the filter and cause serious eye injury. So you might ask, how can you tell if the eclipse glasses are real? Well, NASA does share an easy method to help you vet your eclipse glasses at home. Buyers should put on their glasses and look at bright light, like a flashlight. If the light is extremely dim or doesn't appear at all, the glasses are safe. Susanna Darling of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center said in an instructional video that viewers should be able to see the filament of the light bulb, not the glow around the light bulb. And if you don't have access to eclipse glasses, do not, repeat, do not wear your fashionable or not so fashionable sunglasses. You need a more creative solution to safe viewing, like that pinhole projector. And you can find out how to make your own pinhole projector by going to NASA's website. So you might ask, what's all this safety? What's all this fuss about? Well, according to our Cleveland Clinic eye experts, your eyes contain a very similar lens. So when you look up directly at the sun, that light is concentrated and it hits your retina right at the back of the eye. And the retina is the very sophisticated, sensitive processing area at the back of your eye. And it captures light and it translates it into the images that you see and perceive in your brain. At the center of your retina is the macula. And that's the part that is responsible for identifying specific details at the center of your vision, as opposed to the peripheral part. It's kind of like how your vision is like on the text of a page, specific colors, or being able to differentiate the differences between one person's face and another. So when you concentrate your eyes on the sun and sunlight, if it hits your eyes directly, you really run the risk of burning a hole or causing damage to that macula, which can lead to all sorts of vision impairment, from blurred vision to central scotomas, which are blind spots, or dark spots or unclear central vision. You can have eye floaters or even partial blindness. And I personally experienced these scotomas because of migraine, because when you have a migraine headache, you don't get blood flow to certain parts of the brain that perceive the vision. So it's not a retina problem, but it leads to the same sensation. But if it's a retina problem, as opposed to a transient blood flow problem associated with migraine, this can be permanent and damaging. So solar retinopathy is a permanent phototoxic injury to your retina that can affect the macula that is responsible for central vision. And this can happen in just a few seconds. For some people, if they're lucky, it might be temporary and resolve in 3 to 6 months. But for many people, unfortunately, it's permanent. And that's why we're so passionate about eye safety. And not surprisingly, people who are at highest risk for solar retinopathy include anyone with a history of diabetes, with elevated blood sugar, which can affect the health of the arteries, the retina itself, and the lens and increase cataract risk, persons with high blood pressure, vascular disease, or anyone with cataracts or cataract surgery. And I have an upcoming podcast booked with an excellent ophthalmologist and cataract expert, Dr. Scott Wagenberg. So it's going to be very interesting to have him come in and talk about the eyes and the lens and all things to look into the window of the soul. Now, if you do find yourself accidentally looking at the sun directly, look away right away. And certainly if you experience any change to your vision or discomfort, you should see an eye specialist, a physician who can determine the diagnosis and find out what's causing the changes in your vision. Now, skin safety, even during a partial or annular eclipse, or during the partial phases of the total eclipse, the sun may be very, very bright. And if you're watching an entire eclipse, you might be in the direct sunlight for hours. People are flooding into areas looking to be outside to experience this. So don't forget about a hat, protective clothing, sunscreen. If you haven't listened to my prior podcast on sunscreen, you can go back and listen to that in season one. And for general skincare tips, you can listen to both of the excellent skin podcasts I did with our skincare estheticians, which is not just about cosmesis, it's also about the health of your skin. So some final tips. The only safe and effective solar eclipse glasses are the ones with a filter designation of ISO 12312-2. Anything sold without that designation online or in other stores is not recommended as safe eyewear protection. And if you're not sure where to purchased the right solar eclipse glasses, the American Astronomical Society provides a list of approved vendors who offer the right products. So in my local community where I live, they're having an event in the recreational park area, and they are actually bringing complimentary solar eclipse glasses for everyone who's attending. And at one of the clubs that I'm a member of is having a big event right on Lake Erie. And they're providing not only the solar eclipse glasses, but a special container or filter to put the cell phone in, because some people might want to be taking pictures and filming the event. So there's even protections for your camera. So I hope you've enjoyed this update about this exciting upcoming event. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. And if you have a question or a topic, please go to speakingofwomenshealth.com and put in your question in the Contact Us form. It's under the About link, and you just might hear your question answered. Please subscribe if you don't already subscribe to the podcast. And you can watch many of our podcasts on audiovisual, because we are on both Rumble, Speaking of Women's Health, and YouTube. And if you've enjoyed this and you want to help support us, please share it with others and give us a 5-star rating.